Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Games, welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vanille.
This idiot doesn't know his own name. I knew it.
He admitted it.
I've said for years that his real name isn't Vanille. It was too normal of a name for it to be the case.
Fuck, I think that's the first time I've mispronounced my own name on the show.
Now, I've been roasted a lot for my gaffes at the start of introing the show, but I've never gotten my own name wrong.
Well, you have. It's definitely not Dasilo.
Fair. Yeah, pretty fair.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me trying to pronounce Allsop every week. Just getting it completely wrong.
Ben Vanille here, Tommy. It's great to be here. Now, obviously, this is a very special episode. It's the first episode in a while that we've pre-recorded. We recorded this back in late 2019. So hopefully all this stuff we're talking about today is still relevant. We all decided to go on a holiday at this point of the year that it's coming out.
The strangest decision to record one 6 months in advance.
I just admire Ben having the preloaded bit ready to go.
Yeah, it's still going back into it.
Still firing it off in spite of the gaff of fucking up his own name, the audacity.
After he knew he'd eliminated our respect for him severely enough that we wouldn't go along with whatever pre-planned bit this was. He still gave it a go. Still rolled that wagon down the dusty old trail with nobody there to support him.
I spent 5 minutes thinking up a bit as if I'm not going to go with it.
Yeah, good call. Also, Adam Nix is here with us.
Yeah, my name's Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, no, whoops. I said the wrong name. This is the first one we've recorded. Well, actually, we're recording on the Monday before the Thursday.
Yeah.
So it is kind of, if any news happens during this week, which it might because sort of E3 stuff is happening now.
Yes.
But we haven't covered any news for like 6 weeks because we were doing that series of the history things, which was really fun.
Really fun.
We've covered the history of video games, and today we're talking about the future of gaming.
Oh my god.
Hashtag the future of gaming.
That is what they were saying the PS5 was, right? That was their thing, was the future of gaming.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's going to be pretty much the same.
Yep.
One of them, people are not going to be sure whether it's the same game again or a sequel, and the other one, the first one we reveal, people will be sure that it is a game from two generations previous.
Insane that they...
at Sony, we believe in generations, they said at the end.
Yeah.
Other than the content that comes out for them. That we believe should be uniform.
They're talking about the generations of consumers that they are going to peddle the same shit to constantly. It is weird that they framed it as the future of gaming, knowing that they were going to launch their press conference with an old game.
When GTA 5 came out, I would have been 24, and now I'm 30.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah.
And I'm 3 months or something away from being 31.
Yeah. Life
so it genuinely is like I am a millennial.
Yes.
And I would have been peak merchandise to the millennial advertising dollar age around then.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Zoomers are getting there.
Yeah.
And they're pushing GTA 5 on them.
Well, yeah, let's...
I'm going to die. This is terrifying.
So, yeah, let's go... Well, yeah, this is what we're going to spend a lot of our time talking about. Friday morning, 6 a.m. Melbourne time, there was a reveal, PlayStation 5, the future of gaming. They said it was going to be an hour. We didn't really know what to expect. We streamed it live on Twitch.
Yes.
And thank you to everyone who joined us for that. It was a lot of fun.
I genuinely didn't know I had a voice filter
on. So, okay, now two things.
Speaking of vocal gaffes.
Yeah. Before we get into the content of the presentation, we need to say this quickly. So first of all, 6 a.m. start Melbourne time.
And you can go watch it on our YouTube.
It's archived on our YouTube and Twitch.
We're doing more Twitch streaming as well. So go on and follow us on there. It's twitch.tv/filthycasualspod.
This Friday at 9 a.m. we'll be doing the EA showcase.
Yeah, and probably talking
Australian time, Eastern.
Yeah,
9
it's,
a.m.
it's like I think maybe 4 p.m.
Dude,
Pacific.
It's 5 p.m. somewhere. That's all I know. Cheers, boys.
So, yes.
Yeah, but I was going to say, well, if the EA thing, it's we don't know how interesting it's going to be. No. We'll probably keep talking about PS5. It's the main thing we're interested in, I feel like, at this point.
Who knows?
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, 5:30 a.m. Friday, we get on the call.
Yep.
And we're all just like making a bit of small talk while we're getting everything set up. And then we begin the stream and... you and I, Ben, we're operating on not much sleep. I set an alarm for about 5:15.
Yeah.
Had a bit of time to sort of wake up before I got on the call with you. Adam reveals to us that he'd made the decision to stay up all night, not go to bed.
Less so a decision,
absolutely
more of a...
chaotic beginning to this call.
I was very well put together, I thought.
You
didn't seem it. Yeah, you didn't seem it.
My sleeping schedule has been fucked enough by all the corona shit and the working from home and whatever.
Right.
That time has no value or meaning to me.
Yeah.
So I was fine.
So because you were worried about, and you've talked in the past about like your apartment building and not wanting to disturb your neighbors with your, like the way you watch things.
It's 5 in the fucking
room.
Morning. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to wake anybody up by yelling, it's Spider-Man! I think that's probably lame of me. Get him, Ratchet!
Yeah. So you were talking... You're talking quite softly and low into the mic, which
enough. This is exactly how I was talking. Mm. How you're hearing me now is exactly the level that I was at and what I could hear through my monitoring of the audio, my voice sounded like.
Because Knox is like hosting the streams, as in he's setting them up and hitting go on the streams through his, you know, streaming service and stuff. So, yeah, Knox has got the monitor on.
I was ready to go. I could hear everyone's fucking voice. But
and early on, I asked you, your voice, just you talking softly, sounds like you've like pitched it down a little bit.
Mm.
And you said, no, this is how I sound when I'm talking softly. Then we start the stream and people start getting into the chat room and floods of comments coming through. Why does Knox sound like this? And this is where the cracks in your plan to stay up all night start to show, because you start getting more and more frustrated that no one's focusing on the games, no one's focusing on the content of the presentation. People are holding you to account for why your voice sounds like
this.
And I'm defending you. I'm saying, no, he hasn't done anything. It's not an effect. He just sounds like this when he talks quietly.
But and from my point of view and from theirs, we're both right. Both groups are gaslighting each other like a fucking like old fashioned wagons having a head on collision.
Yeah.
We're colliding gaslights because I'm sure that my voice sounds normal.
Yeah.
But that makes it seem as though I'm doing a bit and denying it. And so then everyone else is sure that my voice sounds low, which makes me think they're all just piling on because one person thought it sounded low. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
So it
sounds too low. It was a sample rate thing.
Right, okay.
I believe.
Sure. Right,
I don't know how the fuck. It must have been some.
Because we've done it before.
Yeah, and it was normal.
Yeah.
And I'm using the exact same setup. Okay. So I don't know what the fuck.
This was the best outcome of it, though, was like that all happens. And I, like I said, I'm going into bat for you.
And I was getting frustrated, too, with all the comments, because it's like, we got up so early to do this stream. Like, just listen to us actually talking.
It is funny if you like, I mean, we didn't work that fucking hard on it, but if you put out The Godfather and they're like, why'd he kill that horse? For like the whole movie.
Yeah.
And you're like, the horse is dead and it's weird.
Yeah.
But like, you don't need to worry about the horse for the rest of it.
Yeah.
So then 12 hours later, you get into the chat with me and Ben and you go, oh yeah, I just watched it back. My voice does sound weird. Did it sound that way to you guys? I'm like, yes, but we tried to say this
and
to
then
you.
That's the bizarre thing to me, that it was like, it was so obviously fucked.
I know.
That I can't believe nobody told me. Even though 600 fucking people did. But whatever. It doesn't really matter. And you can hear it like sort of skipping a couple of vowels because the sample rate thing is making it go slower.
Oh.
So it's like catching up. I think this is what is happening.
I did notice that a bit while you were saying, and I thought again, you're just like, you haven't slept, you're delirious.
Yeah,
your tongue.
I skip some letters when I'm tired. I'm leapy. That means sleepy.
So presentation kicked off. Lots of shapes. Yes. Lots of shapes kind of moving through sand and stuff like that.
A cross and a circle and a triangle and a square specifically. I'm loving those PlayStation shapes.
3D white shapes. I remember we all noted at the start, like, is this white thing?
The
maybe
box
it's
will look
the
like
box.
This.
And we kept
calling it a box, which it turns out was way off the mark.
Yeah, yeah.
Should we just talk about that first? Because that's the very last thing in the presentation. But I think it's the most interesting thing out of it, really.
The design of the console itself.
What that fucking weird thing looks like.
I'm into it.
Yeah.
I was kind of
caught
off.
Your favorite artists and shit are like that Ren and Stimpy cunt and whatever. You're like, you like weird looking things.
You like experimental.
That's who you are.
I like
That's
things that are...
That's your favorite artist.
I like
Ren.
Things that are interestingly aesthetic. Yes.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know, man. This thing looks like... I mean, it's all been done to death of what it looks like on the internet, but it is...
A million memes,
Air Purifier, Wi-Fi router, all that sort of stuff. Destiny armor. Fucking pop collar shirt.
Yep.
All sorts of weird, like a shell. It looks bizarre to me. And whatever, the design, making a bold design aesthetically, I have no problem with. My issue with this specific design is that it loses function that a piece of home entertainment theater equipment needs to have, which is size fitting in, which apparently it's fucking huge.
It's like 37 centimeters.
Yeah,
it's
I didn't realize that.
It's bigger than a PS3 and like every other console.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't realize that until that graphic came out comparing the. It's fucking pretty huge.
And when you're trying to fit it into like, you know, a standard uniform square fucking little TV cabinet thing, having those pointless little wings on the edge will be really fucking annoying if it doesn't quite fit.
Yeah.
And it's designed to be vertical primarily, it seems like. Which
it's insane.
That's
bizarre.
That's crazy. I mean,
it needs to stand even if it's horizontal as well, because the thing's all wobbly.
Oh,
it has a stand when it's oriented how most people will put it,
which is
going
to add centimeters to that width as well, even if you're laying it down.
It's really poorly designed from a functional perspective, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something to do partly with how much fucking airflow it's going to need. Maybe
it is. That is what I suspect. I think that's why it's so big and why it is. Has sort of curves that modulate the shape so there are gaps underneath and above.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be extremely powerful. It's going to be packed with heat sinks and fans.
When you think about that original PS4 and how loud that fucking thing gets and like how much they've crammed it into that form factor, maybe it's necessary. Maybe it's beneficial to them from a airflow or air intake kind of point of view, but fuck, I think it looks silly personally, but also the what appears to be a lesser functionality, which you wouldn't imagine could be possible for a box.
Yeah,
you know, but I don't know.
I kind of think too though, like it is like they've redesigned every version of the PlayStation multiple times.
Sure.
Yes.
That this thing in 2 years' time, there'll be that slimline version of it that has all that wavy shit taken off it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I kind of, when you think about it in terms of like every company has, there's people whose specific job is to work on the design of this thing.
Yeah.
And your options are boring box or do you try and make an impact and have a design that's going to get people talking when at this point in the history of consoles and how long they've been around for, it's hard to really make a splash and get people talking.
But I think
and I always find it funny when something like this drops and then you see all these kind of like memes making fun of it. In their heads, this was always part of the plan, I think, definitely. Like they know that they're making something potentially controversial that looks a bit different, that goes outside of the pack. And so people kind of like, you know, trying to dunk on it for looking like a router. It's like,
it's being posted everywhere.
Yeah, it's just like more of the conversation. Like, I hate this, such an overdone thing, but like, we're talking about it, but like, I think it's totally like by design, pardon the pun.
Sure, but like that fucking Kony 2012 cunt walked outside with his dick out and everyone talked about it, but we didn't find Kony immediately after, you know? Like,
fair point.
Getting attention isn't necessarily like, unless, anyway, but.
Well, at the end of the day, the other thing too is that, and you know, you said this when we were talking about it, the practicality of it and stuff is frustrating. But it really doesn't matter. It sits in your cabinet and it's like, oh, it annoys me that it doesn't stack. It's like, I don't think there'd be anyone in the world who's like, I'm not going to buy one now because the top of it's curved.
But no, and we've had like the 360 was curvy. That thing was like, you know, hourglass shaped kind of.
Oh,
it was fucking hot.
Yeah.
The ideal body of a console.
The 360 had big tits.
The Xbox.
On the faceplate that I attached to.
The Xbox 36, 24, 36.
I fucked the red ring.
I think the only, yuck. I think the only.
Back to consoles.
The only bad looking console, I think, from the last sort of, let's say, 20 years or 25 is the Xbox One, the original one.
I don't think
it, big fat fucking VCR looking box, and it was just a plain box design, you know. But even the PS4 had the angular look to it and whatever. There's been plenty of consoles. The PS2 was a rectangle or two rectangles.
Yeah,
it looked fucking cool. There's ways you can do just squares that look good still. I don't think you need to make it look like a fossil to have it stand out or whatever. And it stands out, but I think it looks really bad. I don't personally like the style that they've gone for, even though, yes, it's bold. I think it looks shitty.
I personally was caught off guard by it when we saw that initial reveal of it.
Yeah.
And then over the course of the day, looking at it more and more, I was like, I've come around on this.
Yeah.
I've come
around. It looks
around
like Ren from Ren and Stimpy. It made my dick extremely
hard.
Yeah,
the boils, the really...
That's great.
Detailed.
Special edition that's got like fucking zits all over it.
Hairs poking out of every...
I've softened on it from disliking it to being ambivalent. I don't really care about how it looks anymore.
Sure.
I do care about the functionality of it though. And also the fact that it has, I think, one USB port and one USB-C port on the front.
Well, I think there's some on the side or something as well.
Which
remember there being
is
weird
an issue.
Angles of... Yeah.
Right? Like, I barely...
That's an issue with the PS4 as well, though. Because especially when you have the VR thing, one of them gets taken up by that.
That's really frustrating. Like, I know it's not a PC. It doesn't have to have seven USB ports. But more than two would probably be preferable.
Well, and then you start thinking about, well, one of my USB ports on the PS4 is for an external hard drive that I have plugged into it. But then with SSDs and, like, I guess... Are they using a proprietary one as well, or is that Microsoft?
I think it's only Microsoft,
right. So who knows how simple it'll be to do one of them. Maybe it'll be easy. Whatever the case is, you're right. Ultimately, it is the way it is, and it doesn't really matter that much. It's not like you can have a choice other than waiting maybe a couple years and seeing if the revision is better.
I mean, I think they'll definitely... They realize that they're going to end up slimming it down, streamlining it. A lot of those wavy features are going to have to like be compromised because of that, and they will... inevitably at some stage bring out a kind of more straightforward box looking thing that
and a
this
pro
is,
version
and,
right like
yeah.
a bigger
well
crazier
yeah.
version
yeah.
potentially you'd imagine they do that again in the next generation.
I will say the one with the, and this is annoying to me because I want to get the other one.
I know what you're gonna
the
say.
One without the disk drive looks heaps better.
So much better.
So much better. It's like that makes the design actually work. It was designed for that model, and then the one with the disk drive looks like it's an afterthought and tacked on. And I hate that because I'm still... Oh, we talked about this, I think, maybe on the stream or after, but like I don't want to... I want to get the disk drive one.
Right,
yeah.
I'm going to gravitate towards that because I want that option of being able to get stuff cheaper secondhand or borrow something from someone, and especially buying
firsthand.
Things at retail here,
when
like, yeah,
things
it costs
are brand
so much
new.
Less.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's going to be a price difference between those two as well, which would be annoying if the disk drive one cost more. That would bother me.
But well, I've seen speculation that they'll be about the same because potentially the diskless version will have more storage. Because by default it would need
Well, then that could swing me. But an SSD would be so much more expensive for them to produce than a disk drive. I don't know.
I'm actually looking at the Xbox 360. The white version looks like a less refined version of the diskless PS5.
It doesn't have that weird gap up the top. That I think that's the thing, is the swooping kind of extra little jutty out bits on the sides.
Right, the Mass Effect 2 Citadel tower looking thing.
That's a bit that doesn't look great to me, and I've seen lots of people saying it looks modern, but I think it looks so old.
Like
very late 2000s kind of like, I don't know.
It is funny when people like rip shit on the Xbox Series S or whatever the fuck it's called.
X?
X. Like people ripping on that design when it's revealed and then, you know, this comes out and they probably, Sony probably would have thought when they saw the response to that Xbox, like, well, they're going to fucking love this then. It's just like, what do you people want?
Yeah.
No one is ever satisfied by anything.
Yeah.
And that's true. And I'm definitely in that category. And I'm aware of that about myself. And I've gone from not liking it to understanding that I'll never like anything the way that I did when I was a child and resigning myself to that sort of level of disappointment for the remainder of my life. Mm-hmm, 20 years.
Yeah. So, I do prefer the PS5's design to the Xbox Series X's. Mainly, again, for function reasons. The Xbox Series X is going to be way too fat to fit on that shelf there. Mm. It's not going to work. I'm going to have to sacrifice that shelf, and then it's devoted to an entire third of my TV cabinet.
That's like, the size of TVs these days means that a TV box, what do you call them? A TV cabinet. Stand, a cabinet.
Yeah.
Pretty much a TV that a lot of people have now will take up the entire width of that thing. So there's no way to put it next to it.
Yes.
We'll deal with that when we fucking come to it. Maybe I'll buy a fucking rigging system and hang it above my...
Have it suspended from the roof.
Yeah.
It's one of those funny conversations.
People do that with VR. They have entire pulley rope systems for the cord to go across the ceiling so they can go like...
It's also one of those conversations too that like over time just doesn't... Like I remember when we talked about the Switch reveal event and the battery thing seeming like a nail in the coffin.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
right.
No one's going to want this thing. They've really fucked it. And then it's like within 6 months of it coming out, no one really talked about the battery anymore because people just got a battery. This is one of those
things.
There's
no way that someone will buy a Switch, find the battery life not long enough, and then buy a second Switch. Nobody in the world would do that.
But it's one of those things that it's when you've just got the reveal video in front of you, that's kind of all there is to talk about.
Right.
And then it's you just get it and it's in the house and it's like, oh, I just don't really think about this anymore.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We won't care about this later. But they didn't reveal price. They did show that there's like some headphones and a media remote.
Yeah.
And a charging station, which is good. I have one of those for my PS4 controllers and I really like it.
Yeah.
I think it's wild to have gone in on the look of the console and you know, there's headphones and all this stuff as well, and then not give a price and a date.
But the date is the big thing.
Yeah.
It's definitely holiday 2020 because they've said, hey, these games are coming out holiday 2020. So that's before Thanksgiving in America.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's sometime before like November 24th or whenever that is. Mm-hmm. Around then.
But just the way the video was formatted too, when you got that shot at the end of like all the things alongside each other, in my head I thought, oh, this is where the date just comes up, is going to be superimposed over the top of this image. It's
completely.
Like, there's such a convention there.
I'm willing to bet that originally it was, when E3 was still planned.
Yeah,
sure.
I think
Microsoft would have done their conference before Sony's.
Right.
I think that's normally the order that they do it in. So I think Sony's waiting for Microsoft to jump first, which isn't until like late July or something they've got a showcase.
Yes, yeah.
So it'll be a while before we hear price, but the rumors I've seen on the internet go anywhere from like $599. There's like people saying $500, which seems unrealistic.
American
dollars, right. $599 up to like $800.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised with like a $599.
US.
Yeah.
So that's touching a grand here, isn't it?
Almost.
$899, something like that.
Who can keep track of the exchange rate
that
anymore?
Is changing constantly. Yeah.
But it'll be expensive because like the PS3 was very expensive at launch. The PS4, I think, was slightly cheaper, maybe.
Yeah, I think it was.
But anyway, they're always expensive when they launch.
At the time of recording, $880
Okay.
Australian.
That's around what... So it might be even cheaper than that. Who knows? But whatever. The other thing is, with those, like we were saying about the first revision of a console or the first edition of one or whatever, maybe there is sense in waiting for that second revision because I've only ever had a PS4 Slim and then a Pro, and I've never been bothered by the fan noise that people do complain about with that original PS4.
Well, I have an original PS4, and the fan noise has only become an issue in the past 6 months.
Right.
With games like Red Dead Redemption 2 and Death Stranding. So it was fine. I was sitting there reading those comments for most of the life of the PS4, being like, what are you talking about?
This will never happen to me.
Just clean out the dust, I guess. But also, we're at the end of the life cycle of this console, and it's just become an issue for me. So I don't know.
And it's better made than, like, the 360s and PS3s that first came out all broke.
Mm.
So
hopefully that doesn't fucking happen again, but who knows? That might happen. It's always weird with a new console generation.
Well, so let's go back and go through games and what we actually saw in this presentation. They opened with a pretty cool, went all the way back to 1994 and did the kind of the old school boot up noise of the first PlayStation.
Some
quick cuts around, which I thought was pretty kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not something I fully expected them to do, but I kind of I wondered how much they would touch on the big, like, going back into their legacy and really reaching into, you know, what people... Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect from this presentation, whether we would see them really lean into, like, hey, here are the franchises that people love and we're going to be giving you all that on the PlayStation 5. Mm. But when they opened with that, I thought they've got to have some of the big hitters from back in the day making an appearance here, because otherwise why invoke that?
Yeah.
Well, and they're at a point where they can, like, sort of play with that nostalgia better than I think Microsoft can, definitely. Mm-hmm. Microsoft doesn't have that.
Yep.
And almost better than Nintendo can, because everyone kind of knows about and is almost sick of all of those old nostalgic Nintendo things, because Nintendo's been using that for so long.
Yes.
That if they were like, started a new console announcement, like, da, 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 everyone would be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
They've got the benefit too, though, with PlayStation or Sony, where they're like, they also have like a kind of like a more recent nostalgia.
Right,
like,
yes.
Of like the God of War reboot and like what Naughty Dog do, which is still in the grand scheme of things, like relatively recent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who knows how much Naughty Dog nostalgia there's going to be after, man, all the, I'm so excited to play Last of Us 2 with just seeing all the discourse about it. We'll have a spoiler-free review next week.
Speaking of grand, they led off with Grand Theft Auto 5.
Just insane. Quickly
before that, mentioning just like the nostalgia thing and then using the cross and the circle and whatever. Mm-hmm. But particularly with the nostalgia thing, a big part of their thing, which seemingly is just as a response to how Microsoft is positioning itself, like them using the phrase, we believe in generations here at Sony. We believe in generational leaps. When Microsoft is being like, all your old games play, they'll play on both for a couple years.
Yes.
This is just, we're making a better version of the thing that exists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're giving you free versions of the games you just bought, all of that stuff.
It seems like a weirdly backwards thing to be doing.
Sony's?
Delineating between,
like, this is a brand new one with new thing, and then they show them and it's like, it looks a bit better.
Yeah.
But you could get that Ratchet game running on a PS4 if you did a lower quality, but you know, like, none of it's that jumpy. Mm. So it seems weird to be positioning yourself as like, we love making you buy a new, like...
I'm surprised that they didn't comment more on, or at all, sorry, on the backwards compatibility
with
this console. Like, especially since there's been a lot of heavy hitters coming out in the last year of the PlayStation 4's life. I kind of thought there'd be a thing like, hey, a lot of you are looking forward to Last of Us 2 and Ghost of Tsushima. You know, you'll be able to play them upscaled day one on the PS5.
Right.
Or if you miss them, if you don't have a PS4 yet, they're also coming out on that as those upscaled versions. I kind of thought they're just so primed to mention what they're doing in regards to that,
totally.
If they are doing something like that.
And it sounds like they don't know, because all like the little bits and pieces you hear is them going like, yeah, some will work, or you'll have to patch them all individually. It sounds like they didn't know how much people would want them,
because
they didn't do it for the PS3 to 4, and no one really said anything.
I think what they've said is many games will be backwards compatible. Mm. So it's like, is
that's
that
such a
half?
Vague statement?
Is that
to
two
not
thirds?
Well,
yeah.
There was that like
on.
Tech thing that Mark Cerny guy did, and he said something about it, but it seems as though there's not a heap of confirmed stuff about that. Well, and you know what their statement about backwards compatibility was, like you were going to go into, here's GTA 5 on the PS fucking 5, a new version of it.
Mm-hmm. So for all the talk, this is the thing to me, like for all the comments about like how crazy the design of the actual console looks and like you know bad or whatever people's takes on it, to me it's a way more wild part of the presentation is kicking it off with GTA 5.
And that moment of seeing that Rockstar logo and going like, holy shit, are they ready to go again?
It's
like, hey, guess what? No.
Insane. Had,
like, speaking GTA of generations, 5, we've had two generations to work on a new game.
Yeah. Yeah.
We made Red Dead 2, that's cool, but fucking took us fucking years.
Yep.
That's where they're from. And so anyway, they...
And so 2021, GTA 5, and they said... Free. They just basically showed you just all shots of it original, like running on the PS4. And
yes,
then they get to the end, they say, it's coming out and it's going to be expanded and upgraded. But then not showing anything of what that actually looks like is, surely, I think, a bad sign.
Yeah, it's in reference to the multiplayer, definitely.
100%, yes.
And everyone who has PS Plus gets that for free early next year,
yeah,
which is fine. But they gave that game away for free on that Epic Game Store a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yeah.
Like, and also, it's fucking ancient.
Yes. Yeah.
By video game standards, that game is a boomer.
Yeah.
That is a boomer game.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you know what? I hate boomers. I'm bold enough to say it.
It's not a huge deal to release this for free now when it basically is Fortnite. You know, that this is a multiplayer cash cow.
Yeah.
They're making money by
making
it free.
This is a fine announcement somewhere in the mix.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But,
yeah.
I mean, it's jumping making money for Rockstar. People are into it. I'm sure there's plenty of people who love the game who are stoked to know that it's going to carry over to the next console. That probably is attractive to a lot of people. But kicking the whole thing off with it is just mind-boggling
stuff. But luckily, their next announcement wasn't in any way controversial or confusing.
Just before we get too far away from it, all the recent reporting from the past 2 to 3 days is saying there will be almost certainly full backwards compatibility with PS4. So that has, I think, changed recently from all that sort of speculation. Most of what I've been reading just now is like the top 100 games for PS4 will definitely be supported on PS5.
And that's good. It still bothers me, the idea that it's all or nothing for me, backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And but why not?
Because you've either got to keep the console or not. And if there's one game you might want to play on it in the future, for my dumbass brain, I'm like, well, that's sitting in my cupboard forever.
I know what you mean. Yeah, and but I get, why not bring that up in this presentation? I think such a sticking point to people.
Probably because it isn't like 100%, like Knox is saying. Mm. If they can't say all PS4 games will be compatible with the PS5, then it's better to just not mention it. People can find out and be like pleasantly surprised when their old game does play, but not make it a selling feature.
Right, and this would be being done through software patches like the 360 backwards compatibility on the Xbox One, where it's a game-by-game basis.
Right.
And it's like it's not hardware in the system that's doing it, right? So they can't be sure that all of them will do it. But the PS4 and 5 architecture is apparently quite similar.
Yeah, exactly.
So of course, they can both sort of run.
Yeah.
But there'll be weird edge cases that won't, is what they're hedging their bets about.
Seems like it, yeah.
But Spider-Man Miles Morales.
Speaking of hedging their bets.
Yeah. That was the second one. And so it was just a sort of bit of footage of Miles Morales having his suit blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, Spider-Man, he's coming back.
Yeah.
And it was like, cool, Spider-Man 2. Then they, a Sony executive, after the fact, said, actually, this isn't Spider-Man 2. This is an expanded remaster of the original. So implication being, this will be that original game with essentially an expansion pack or a new DLC.
included with it.
Similar to how the fucking Wii U to Switch ports have worked.
Right. And then
what it sounded like.
People were like, wait a minute, that seems like that trailer was really misleading. And they went back and said, no, but it's a standalone. And so now it's like, what?
Well, so one Sony executive was wrong.
Right.
And they said this person got it wrong, but they put out a media statement. And then Insomniac came through and said, no, this is Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Yeah, right.
It's a standalone game.
It's a full regular on its own game. It sounds like the confusion is probably because they're using the same city.
That's how it read to me. It's going to be a lot of the same areas.
Yeah.
So it would be relatively, I could see it being like having the original shit in it if they wanted to.
Mm. Some of that side stuff or whatever.
It's using all the same, so many of those assets are there built ready to go.
Yeah.
And again, if you're thinking like maybe a lot of people are buying this console that just missed it, that just didn't have a PS4, so why not give them the option? You're not having to like build the whole game from scratch.
Mm.
But it isn't. That game will be backwards compatible because it would definitely be in the top 100.
Yeah.
And then this is Lost Legacy.
Yeah.
So it's a standalone, shorter, you know, interstitial game before Spider-Man 2 eventually comes out.
Yeah.
And this seems like it's potentially a launch game because this has the tag of Holiday 2020.
2020, but yes, this will be early, surely.
Yeah, this seems like a huge chance of being something that is there at launch.
Well, because as we go through these, keep in mind not how sort of few of these, especially the big hitters, are this year.
Yes.
Because let's skip one and go back to it, because Ratchet and Clank is also Insomniac.
Yeah.
And they're making a brand new one, Rift Apart.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ripped Apart.
Yeah.
That sounds different.
Yeah.
That looked fucking good.
Yeah,
looked
I watched that really, again, really good. That trailer again today on, you know, like 4K resolution, and it's beautiful. And the fluidity of, and it's hard to tell how much of this is like tinkered with gameplay and real gameplay or cinematics, because it looked incredible, but... Yeah, it's visually stunning. Like, yeah.
Well, this was the first chunk that we actually saw of kind of real gameplay.
We saw Gran Turismo 7 before. Oh, okay, sorry. I jumped ahead. But
there was some Miles Morales gameplay as well at the end of that trailer.
Was there?
Yes, there
was. I don't even remember that.
But
this looked great, and we got like a big chunk of, who knows if it's been tinkered with, but running around in it. I loved that other one from a few years ago, and... Yeah, the whole thing of you're able to like jump through these parallel universes in this game, which is a thing of like showing off how quickly I guess this is kind of like...
The loading times.
Developed alongside. It's like, okay, this is this cool tech that can like load up new stuff really quickly.
Yeah.
So let's make this game to kind of, show off this new hardware and kind of what it can do.
From that trailer, it looked like the things where they were going properly between like the dimensions were kind of pre-baked.
Yes, that's what I got from re-watching it. I think at the time when we were streaming, we were like, oh, wow, fuck, this is so fluid. It's like, I think
I was
this...
losing. fucking hell.
It's fucking Clank.
I can't believe it.
Like, look how quick it's going.
That other Ratchet, who was the girl Ratchet, said who? When Clank said Ratchet. I can't believe it.
It did. It looked... It had the fluidity of motion of a cinematic trailer on second look.
Mm.
But it also had the perspective of it being gameplay.
It looked like gameplay.
Yeah.
That second bit, there was like a long stretch where it was like... kind of just continuous, like you were just watching them kind of play through. Sort of
it 100% was real gameplay, because it looked close enough to what you can do these days, but like you had a bit more power.
Yeah.
So that looked kind of cool, but again, Ratchet & Clank game, which is a known quantity, similar to the one we skipped, which is Gran Turismo 7.
So that I watched again today, and we sort of, I think, maybe Tommy, you were saying how funny it is that they wheel out the car games to show off the graphics.
They wheel them out, do they?
Okay,
thank
so no,
you,
I'll use,
Bin
I'll use,
Vanille.
I'll use a different word. It really drives interest, I guess.
No, you've done it again.
So I got to steer away from this topic.
You really do. I'm getting exhausted.
Gran Turismo.
Nah, Ben, put your foot on the pedal and just really go for it with this analogy. I love it.
It looks it looks real is the thing.
It's always like if the company doesn't have their own kind of like marquee brand established driving game, there's always like just a third party like dodgy McDumbfucks dirt rally.
Yeah. Here's like, Project Cars.
Look at the reflection on the windows and the fucking water spraying up. It's just like the easiest way to really show off what a console can do.
There's one shot in the trailer where it's you're seeing the driver walking forwards. You're behind them. They're wearing a helmet. It's like basically mirrored, and you can see perfectly the reflected surface of like everything around it. It genuinely was like, holy fuck, this is incredible. I've never seen this in a game before.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No date for that. Something called Project Athia.
So that was the
square?
One.
Square?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looked like the Unreal demo, but wasn't really.
Just a jumping lady.
Jumping lady.
Jumping
yeah.
quite fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the writers for that is the guy who wrote Rogue One.
Oh.
Or one of the people who wrote Rogue One. I don't know if there's multiple. But so anyway, barely know anything about it.
First impression, like very vague impression, was like into what I saw of it. Looked cool.
Yeah, same.
Almost definitely being announced too early.
Don't
remember what Stray. Oh, that's the robot cat.
Yeah.
Stray, I think this looks cool. This was like a city that's all robot inhabitants and you're kind of thinking like, this is third person action game platformer. What is this going to be? And then very end, you saw like the one actual non-robotic life form, little cat running around, and it's become apparent that you, in some form, play as the cat.
Yeah,
sure. It wasn't clear what type of game it was, so I guess that's why I'm not really.
But it
did look nice.
I like the look of it. I was interested in it.
I was turned off with the cat bit. Like, if you're like a person going through a cyberpunk city platform action game, it's like, I don't want to play as a cat.
Well, a cat can do a platformer as well.
I was turned off by the cat.
That's bizarre to me. The cat was one of the more appealing parts. If it had been like his person in Robot World, it's like, well, done a million people in robot worlds. Mm-hmm. There's always people there. How many times do you see that little fucking... Remember, was it Elvis the cat?
What?
My old cat, no. there was something... Anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Elvis was a cool cat. I did like the end of Kentucky Route Zero where you play the cat running around.
Yeah.
But it also purposefully distanced you from the events happening in that section, so you're just an observer.
Maybe this will too.
I guess that's true.
I think it'll be better than Returnal.
No, I was super into Returnal.
It's got the worst name I've ever heard of.
It does.
So it makes me hate it.
It's made by the guys and girls who made Resogun. It kind of looked like a bullet hell, but a third person game.
Okay.
And I really like the aesthetic of it.
It's called Returnal. Yeah. Fuck off.
It's called Returnal.
It's the worst name.
This was the one that I think we were all like. The aesthetically and the kind of look of it and everything, I thought it was really cool and interesting. And then once it got into actual gameplay, that sort of bit of it started to look a bit generic to me.
Yeah, right.
Sackboy, A Big Adventure, a little platformer game using Sackboy, kind of looks like Mario 3D World.
Mm-hmm.
Will probably be fine,
yeah,
but not amazing. Same as Little Big Planet platforming.
That's another coming out in 2020. So, end of this year, potential. I could see this being a launch game.
Sure. Definitely.
3D platformer. Right up my alley. Not you know, we've talked about none of us are really into Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
But this looks a bit if the physics are on point, it could be fun.
The fact that it's a pre-made game rather than a get these fucking idiots to make you some bad levels game.
Yep.
Kenna Bridge of Spirits would look like a generic kind of action game.
Zelda-ish.
Yeah. A few that we'd already heard about. Oddworld Soulstorm. Ghostwire Tokyo. Which the footage of that looked cool.
Yeah, I watched that again today. I guess I didn't really pick up on the gameplay during the event, but first person powers, maybe hologram, maybe supernatural.
Kind of Japanese horror type thing.
Yeah.
I really wasn't into this. I don't know what it was. Something about it didn't really... Joe with me.
Fair enough. Okay. I feel the same way about Godfall.
Shit.
I do not like the look of that.
This looks like a free-to-play mobile game. Just like microtransactions out the wazoo.
One of those games where you can just smell how little creativity was ever put into it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because of people working on it are dumb, but just it seems like a business game.
Yes, agreed.
But did you like how they tried to kind of like... sneak that idea through by in the trailer having like we have like a rap song as the like trying to kind of make it like no there's a bit more going on here. It's like hang on, this is just a soundtrack choice.
Yeah,
the big title showing up being like you can get loot and I'm so fucking sick of loot. Dude, give me a fucking just one item. Solar Ash, was that the adventure game, the Annapurna one or something?
I thought this looked really cool. This is like, it kind of looks like a 3D Hyperlight Drifter, that kind of aesthetic. That one,
It's made by the Hyperlight Drifter.
It is, yeah.
Right.
But it looks like that in a more kind of, not going for a 2D, not going for like a Super NES kind of era throwback.
Sure.
But it's a very vague trailer, no idea of really what it is, but I'm really interested in the look and feel of that.
Hyperlight Drifter had a great sense of theatricality. Like all of the cutscenes, as simple as they were really well directed. Like it had a great atmosphere to it. And I think it was the pixel art that sort of held me at arm's length. So yeah, I would be super keen to see a game from those people that's a little more within my wheelhouse.
Cool. Hitman 3.
Yep.
Not much information about that or whatever, but you can pretty... accurately guess, I'd say, what that's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. I like those Hitman games.
Yeah.
Astrobot something party?
Playroom. Which is a free pack-in, it sounds like.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what I've been hearing the last couple of days.
That's okay. One of those weird ones where they've they've said that post the presentation. Looks fine. I mean, the thing I loved about... Astrobot Rescue Mission was the use of the VR. Don't know how into just a standalone 3D platformer kind of pack-in thing I am without that kind of element.
I'm still excited for it because it looks like they're going to be focusing on like the new controller as the thing they fuck with.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that could be cool. Yep. Yeah, good point.
So as a way for that studio to play with new technology. I don't know. I think it could be cool again. I love that other one.
That I think I really liked how creative Rescue Mission was. Not just with the VR, I think, as well. The level design was really good.
Yeah.
I'm always found it hard to connect with the aesthetic because it is a little generic.
Yeah.
But if they're making great levels and it's fun to play, then I'm sure I'll look past that.
Yeah, and I like the look and I especially like the sound of it. The music is great.
Yeah, yeah.
Little Devil Inside.
Mm.
Is that that's that one that looks kind of like gothic 2D, almost pop-up book looking shit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is apparently a Kickstarter game. It's like been in production for like 6 years or something.
Right.
And they released a trailer actually 6 months ago, like semi-recently. I don't think it was as in-depth as this because I remember going back and looking at like the developer diaries and like some of the production images and stuff. I think this looks cool.
Definitely been amplified by being on this because, I thought it looked cool too. Just the aesthetic, but again, don't really have an idea of what it is.
Mm.
NBA 2K21.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Know exactly what that is. That's coming out everywhere. Yep. Fuck off.
Another sort of tech demo, a lot of sweat involved.
Yep.
Bug Snacks.
Hated this.
Really despised it.
Hated this.
The fucking
lot.
The sense of humor that it had, the little fucking dumbass song that it had, the look of it, what the game appeared to be.
Mm-hmm.
Every element of this game was trash to me.
Yeah, I really didn't like this either.
Yeah.
Who was this again? Making this?
The people who made Octodad.
That's right.
It's got that just trash art style.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel bad. It's like someone's passion, but not for me. It just looks very, and especially in a thing like this.
And I'm bashing this game right now.
Especially in a console reveal thing where you're wanting people to really get like hooked and be pushing like, hey, here's the next big thing. And you know, even the things in this that look, you know, a little more slightly generic or don't have too much going, like still just to have this like seems just like a very chuck away disposable kind of indie game. Just I don't know.
I think
so much time devoted to it as well. It seemed like the longest fucking trailer. Yeah.
Well, we're in a bubble of video games discussion in terms of like our Patreon Facebook group. I think people tend to have obviously a similar sense of humor to us in there, and there wasn't, I think, any love for it in that sort of discussion after the event. I think this has been relatively well received outside of that. Because of the personality and the humor, which makes sense. If you're going to go, all right, let's add some level of interest to this beyond, the other stuff, the indie stuff that does look good. We've got to dress up the Godfalls, you know, with a bit of humor, chuck this in. But personally, I'm with you guys. I didn't like this at all.
Very anti-Bug Snacks.
Yep.
No opinion at all on Deathloop.
No, neither.
Don't really even remember what that was.
Put a lot of effort into their trailer. One? It was another, same as Returnal, a rogue-like
shooter. Yeah. It looked like it controlled poorly for some reason. The way that the camera's moving about, there's just something about it looked really shit.
It had a level of presentation to the trailer that none of the others did. It went for a really long time.
Yeah.
Guy doing the voiceover about how, what is it, he lives on an island where it's like a big Groundhog Day, isn't it?
Yes,
it's it like is, every day resets and everyone's trying to kill him. Yeah.
Loop.
That was the working title for Groundhog Day, actually. It was Death Loop. I don't know. Yeah, something about it pushed me away rather than drew me in for how high production value the trailer was. Maybe it'll be a good game. We have no way of knowing.
Agreed. Those last few are all 2020 as well.
Resident
Evil Village.
Yeah.
Village 8.
Looks cool. This inspired me to go back and play 7, which I never did. I was about to download it last night, but I was like, I'm just about to go in on another zombie thing. I'll leave it on the back burner for a little bit.
8. I mean, 7 isn't really zombies that much.
But horror, kind of. I don't know, maybe...
You've
maybe finish
time.
Last of Us 2, a little palate cleanser in between, and then get to it. Get to it. It did, and it also playing the remakes of 2 and 3 and loving them. And then seeing this was like, I really should get to round of 7 because I heard it's great.
Right. Well, and now 8 is first person in the same way 7 was, which is very different to those other ones, but I think was really good. I loved 7.
Yeah.
I'm more into the aesthetic of this. I think because
witches and shit.
Yeah, I'm not heaps into zombie stuff.
Yeah. Well, 8-7 isn't really zombies either. It's right. just like it's this weird family.
It's more Texas Chainsaw-y?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
But like this, like gothic horror, the witch stuff really did draw me in a lot. I was into the aesthetic.
Yeah, for sure. And it looks really good. That's 2021 as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Pragmata?
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, this was the one of like...
I don't remember this
one. Is like, this looks like some fucking Kojima shit. This was the guy in the space suit and like the little girl and, and then it like going up
satellite
into the sky and then
into,
they're on the moon
yeah.
at the in the last shot of it. No, absolutely no way of knowing what the fuck it is. But it's Capcom 2,
right? It is,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
But it's not out until 2022 at the earliest. That's the current estimation. So that'll be a long way away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
cool trailer, though.
Yeah, it was a cool trailer. Yeah. And for a minute we were like, fuck, is this Kojima?
It's so many pages out of the Kojima playbook in the first like minute of it. It's like, no fucking way.
And then lastly, before showing the console and everything, they showed Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah.
Which is Horizon 2.
Yep.
And it's got like a little 2 in the logo, but the 2 isn't in the name.
Oh.
Which is weird. That's like an undetermined release date, but that looks exactly what you would imagine if you pictured them doing a sequel to Horizon.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I'm into. The first one I was like a 7, like, you know, it was okay. But I'm very into them giving it another go because that game had a lot of good ideas that I just didn't find that fun in that first game for whatever
it
reason.
It seems like it could be like an Uncharted thing where, you know, Uncharted 1 you didn't really make much noise about, and then 2 was the one where it was like people really got on board. And also, yeah, we talked about this on the stream, but like Horizon 1, I was kind of into it. I think a lot of people were in this position where they kind of fucking around with it a bit, liked it. Breath of the Wild came out and then it was just like left for dead. And I did see a lot of people, I have seen a lot of people in the last couple of years say, oh, I've ended up going back to it in the last 6 months and really fucking loving it and really regret putting it down at the time. So it's definitely, it's got its fans out there.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of people seem to like it.
I think, one of its fans. I think that's the exact same thing that happened to me. I just put it down for Breath of the Wild, but I went back to it and I finished it and really, really enjoyed it.
I remember a lot of the people who said that just being really dumb and having really tiny penises. So, yeah, if that was you, then cool, I guess.
Yeah, I never played it.
I thought you just, okay, interesting.
No, yeah, I finished it as well. And I liked the world more than I liked the pacing of the story. Like, I liked the blurb of the story a lot more than how it played out.
Yeah, I agree. I think I was fully into it as I was playing it. I wasn't like sort of nitpicking stuff as it was going or like getting, you know, taken out of it by bad dialogue. But I forgot about it immediately after I put it down. Did not stay with me whatsoever.
Yeah, a little bit. And just like the ideas of the like all these different tools to hunt these big things with and everything just never really came together in the way that would have been cool in that game. Like, you could do it, but also you could really easily take those fuckers down with just the bow or whatever.
100%. You just needed to like stop and do like a sense the area thing.
Yeah.
Do like a little ambush with the melee thing and run around shooting bow shit at them.
Moving around in the world never felt great as well because there were like invisible kind of walls stopping you from climbing things, which again, with Breath of the Wild coming out such a similar time, was very noticeable. But, yeah. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that. And that was their kind of their big... Yeah. Here's the PS4 hit that we've got the sequel to impending.
Yes.
Because we were speculating beforehand, like, will they show God of War? Will they show... They kind of showed Spider-Man. Will they show, I don't know, GTA fucking 5 again?
Yeah.
Anyway, pretty good presentation. Very launch of a console thing of, like, a lot of the games that are going to be great on this thing don't exist yet.
Yes.
Yep.
There's some dodgy ones. There's some ones that are going to get too built up, like a Watch Dogs or whatever, that will turn out to be shit.
Yeah, that's right.
So...
I was into it. You know, for knowing that pretty early on of this thing coming out, we're going to get a new Spider-Man and a new Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's all I need for the first few months.
Yeah.
Who knows after that, but yeah.
I was definitely more excited by this than the Microsoft one, and I liked the Microsoft one. I was into it.
That Microsoft one wasn't the equivalent to this as well.
That's true. It was third-party games only, wasn't it? Yeah.
The Microsoft proper showcase is at the end of July.
Yes.
I think, or sometime in July. So we'll wait and see for that.
But they're really playing a game of chicken with each other at this point. Like,
just don't announce the price until they're in the shops. Just make people show up with a random amount of money and be like, I hope this is enough.
If they put up pre-order XXX.XX, yeah. People would still pre-order them.
I fucking would because of this fucking podcast, but you know.
All right, guys, PlayStation 5, we're doing it Radiohead style. Pay what you want.
0000. Oh, no. Fuck. Oh, we thought this worked.
The PlayStation in rainbows.
That'd be dope. Yeah. Free PlayStation. Hell yeah. Speaking of free PlayStation, we've all had a lot of free time to play PlayStation over the last 6 weeks when we haven't been talking about the history of video games on this.
Yes.
Do you have any games you really want to talk about heaps before we wrap up?
Death Stranding.
Right.
So I put that down after 5 hours thinking it was a bad game. I picked it up and I played the rest of it.
You were wrong.
I was wrong. I mean, I was mostly wrong.
You know what? I will listen to you say that it's a bad game once you finished it, and I'll agree, but I love it.
Yeah, it the start, the first like 2 to 3 hours of intense story dump, still I think is not well written, and the end is in the exact same boat.
But the middle, also poorly written.
Yeah,
every part of that story is like badly written.
Yeah, but
Kojima's a bad writer.
I think so. But when you sink into the game loop, the world, the challenges of transporting that stuff, I think what's done really subtly and well is the evolution of the landscapes that you actually have to traverse. It really is a really well done thing because at some point you have to go back through them, and just like the pacing of playing the game is done incredibly well in stark contrast to the story. But it is now a game that I will recommend to people as like a work of art in video games.
And the story, though it's bad, tell me if you agree with this, remains completely interesting and captivating, if not only for its presentation and audacity throughout the entirety of it.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. I think it's one of those things, like it happens sometimes with like a TV show where they muck up an episode or a movie that almost gets it right. You're like, oh, if you had tweaked the way you delivered this bit of story, it'd be perfect, or it'd be better or more to my taste maybe.
I think almost the opposite of that, where I think it's an irredeemable, unsavable story that is delivered perfectly. Because it is, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
there's no point to it, really, other than him saying, like, everyone is in the same world, I guess.
I think.
Not really. He worked together, but even the story doesn't really convey that. The gameplay has that to convey.
That's the thing. The story conveys no emotional message whatsoever. The concept is about human connection and working together to overcome obstacles, and is undercut, if anything, by what the actual story
is. And every single one of those characters, and like it's all done with such confidence, though. It's like one of those shit comedians where you're like, when you think about it afterwards, you're like, wait, they didn't tell a joke that whole time. But they were fucking jumping around so much and like moving about. And they're going like,
the transitions between the bad jokes were so slick, I didn't even notice.
Right.
Yeah. Or you know what? It's just a perfectly delivered piece of shit. But a lovable piece of shit. I'm glad that you have gone the journey now.
I really am give credit and props to the fact that it was a very ambitious thing that was done exactly the way that he wanted to. Regardless of, you know, like it's a work of art, so it's down to taste.
Yeah,
he was obviously in love with this story that he was telling.
Sure.
And I gotta appreciate that.
How weird is it that those last few hours fucking suck? Like you just go through this linear bullshit series of things that like aren't very fun to play.
There's a point, and there's no spoilers. I want people to experience it. I do think it's worth playing. There are points where you literally sit down and have a character tell you reams and chapters of the end of this story rather than experiencing it.
And even the gameplay bits you do experience in the lead up to that, sort of when you get to the coast from there, it's this linear type of gameplay that the game hasn't really been for the entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it suddenly makes you do it for like 9 hours.
Yeah, it drops you into a series of very simplistic boss fights
just like a traversal thing that is the worst example of it in the entire game.
Yep.
I love it. I don't know what's wrong with me or it or something here, but see eye to eye on this now, and that most people who've seen it through, and I don't blame anyone for jumping out of the boat, but when you get to the end, if it's caught you, like whatever it is about it, yeah, there's a fish hook in your mouth, but it's reeled you in. Mm-hmm. It hurts, but I want to be hurt, Daddy.
Yeah, I want to be hurt too. I want to be choked by it. I got to go back to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It made me want to go back and play some... I already did start playing, I think, Metal Gear Solid 2, but it makes me want to get more into the Kojima world.
So Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2, I read an interesting thing about during all of this stuff, that the English translators for both of those games made a lot more changes to those stories than the future translators for Kojima did.
Oh.
And he was angry at them both for doing it and sort of got rid of them and didn't want them to ever work with them again. Mm. And that is why, a lot of the reason why, Metal Gear Solid 1 and 2 are often considered to be the best ones that he's done.
Right.
Because somebody else rewrote them.
Yeah, wow. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. There's two different people. I forget their names, but this guy and this woman wrote the one and two.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
That's so brutal to have. Yeah, the idea of like your art being taken away from you by someone going, you were speaking your language wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fixed that for you.
Yeah.
And made this joke better.
Well, and he made David Hayter re-audition every single game to play Snake, and then eventually he was like, finally, Kiefer's on board. He always wanted a famous fucker.
Oh, right.
He wanted Kurt Russell originally, apparently.
He is a star fucker, isn't he?
Dude, not a bigger one in the world.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Death Stranding. I recommend it, despite its flaws.
Very good.
Cool.
What about you guys?
I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, and yeah, loved it.
Yes!
Really loved it. Some pacing stuff. Plenty of other people have said this. I reckon it could pretty easily have lost maybe 5 hours.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think the value for money would suffer or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But even in spite of that, it's maybe my favorite thing I've played this year. My favorite new thing I've played this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's an all-timer.
Yeah.
I fucking loved it.
Yeah.
Right up until the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you have getting near the end, having to go back into the sewer? Like,
yeah, that's right.
The backtracking into the least interesting areas. The knowing from the what I'd played of the original that I was getting to near the end, and it was all about to ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just this very tacked on artificial. Hey, we need to go back into the sewers for a couple of hours.
Yeah. Yep.
I was like, oh, that bit that I was just in before, the least visually interesting area of the game. I'm back in there now. Like, that stuff is like that. And that's just cut that. And the whole game is still I don't know. But did I have any quibbles with the end?
Yeah.
So I went back actually after I finished it and listened to the sealed section that you guys did. So it was really interesting to hear you guys chat about it. I mean, I did find it jarring the way that it ramps up into this very over-the-top kind of very tropey anime kind of...
Sort of spoilers, obviously, for them. Not really.
Not really.
Not really.
Yeah,
yeah, there's so many great designs in that game, and then one of the last sets of bosses you fight. One's yellow and one's red and one's blue.
Yeah.
Was a little bit like, come on. Like, a little bit more time on the drawing board probably wouldn't have gone astray there.
Yep.
But yeah, it was just such an intense fucking ending and... Yeah, just such a great experience.
Mm.
And yeah, really sinking in and committing a couple of hours to it a night. I fucking loved it. And it kind of getting back to my initial hesitation of it when I was starting it and really enjoying it was like, when, if ever, am I going to see the rest of this?
Sure.
Like it kind of did hit me of getting to the end of like, oh, what a shame. Like,
yeah.
I hope I get to play the end of this soon or the rest of it soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But who fucking knows?
Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, really loved it. And then went in and had never finished Last of Us 1.
Oh, yeah.
So quickly got that done before 2 coming out because my plan was to just, look at some YouTube clips or whatever to kind of catch myself up. But yeah, really, and finished that and really fucking glad I actually made the time to finish it because I thought that I'd gotten pretty far in it back in the day and then realizing I had played fuck all of it in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just was completely misremembering how much time I'd sunk into it. But if you're familiar with the game, I tapped out before you meet Henry and Sam, which is like
Less than halfway.
3 hours in. Significant. Yeah. Like, less than a third of the way, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So early on.
You see why this is held up by many as the best game ever? Can you see that?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it even, you know, even playing that small of an amount of it. Like, it wasn't something I disagree with. Like, all huge, of it's so good. But yeah, that ending and I'm really glad I did it. Like, I was looking forward to Last of Us 2 already, but so... Yeah, finishing that first one so soon before the new one coming out just really gotten me pretty revved up for it. Not much more to say about it. Yeah. It's a classic.
It is.
It's just like something about playing something in the context of knowing that it's this like super revered masterpiece. Yeah, fucking really good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Did play through it on easy just to make sure I got it done.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Didn't really want to get my ass whooped by it. And then went and played the DLC as well.
Yeah, right, which I haven't played, and you haven't played
I
that
I still haven't
have
gotten
you,
around to that, I don't think. Yeah. Maybe I haven't forgotten, but...
It's cool. Like, it's so there's, like, a bit at the end that Ellie describes to you, and then the DLC is half that and half... There's, like, a time jump that happens in the game, so you kind of play through what she's doing in that little time jump.
Right.
And it's sort of, like, the very interesting story part of it is there's not much gameplay in it. You're kind of just walking around. And then the bit that's like takes place like parallel to the actual game during the time jump, that's all the gameplay.
Right.
But you're kind of like, you've played the game, so you know kind of what happens, like what the outcome is.
Right.
So it's kind of hard to care about it from a story point of view. Feels like it's like they wanted to tell this interesting story, but then they're like, there's nothing really that fun to do in this part of it.
Right.
So we'd better have this flash forward of like, you're actually doing some of like the classic Last of Us kind of gameplay in there. The whole thing is like maybe 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
So it's, you know, it's fun. It's fun, and it's like the actual story stuff that it tells in there as kind of like a prequel to the game is really cool.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dope. You been playing anything, Noxy?
I played Dark Souls 1 and 2.
Right.
Souls 1 is great. Dark Souls 2 is weird.
Oh, we didn't mention Demon's Souls.
Oh, yeah.
That was left off the list that I looked up before. The Demon's Souls remaster coming to PS5.
Good thing I played those again. Yeah, that's sick.
It looks cool. I've never really been able to get into any of these games except for Sekiro. But it looks cool. I want to be good enough to play it.
I definitely want to know more about whether they're going to make some changes to how it plays and that sort of stuff to kind of modernize it, because it could use it,
right?
In my opinion. But it looks very nice.
Visuals
at least. And it's cool that they're putting that game back out there, because it did sort of, you know, fizzle away into history.
Yeah, yeah.
It being replaced by Dark Souls. And yeah, one's still good. The remaster's fine. Two is great. No, it's fine. Sorry. it's good. It's nowhere near as good as one. Like, the gameplay is still the same sort of fun, but it's just not designed anywhere near as well. It's kind of a different team who started doing two, and then the other one was working on Bloodborne from Dark Souls 1.
Oh, okay.
And it just, like, it doesn't have that same spark to it. A lot of, like, instead of the sort of cleverly laid out areas, it'll be quite a straight path with just, like, here's, like, five guys at once. How are you going to fight them?
Right.
And it's like, well, I don't know, same way as with one. You know, I'll draw one out and then it'll be long and boring. But it's okay.
Right.
Definitely not the one to go into, as if anyone would go into Dark Souls 2 first if they'd never played any of these.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay. It filled some time during which I really needed my attention taken away.
You wanted to fight some demons.
I wanted to avoid having
in
to.
The game. Yeah. I also started playing Elder Scrolls Online, and I would recommend it to you, Nox, because it's basically just Morrowind with better graphics.
Well, I'd recommend the Wedgie to you because you're playing Elder Scrolls Online.
It's like there's barely any interaction with other people so far.
That's
like
cool.
You see them zipping around, running around, doing shit. But it is. It's just like Skyrim, but Morrowind.
What are you playing it on?
The PS4.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I've always wanted to give that a crack. But, just such a time commitment.
It's $15, or it was when I bought it.
Right.
I don't have any of the extra shit.
But you wouldn't need that for a while, surely.
Yeah. It's fun. It's got good quests. It looks good. Yeah, it's Morrowind with a remaster paint, a coat of paint on it.
I'll give it a honk one day.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's it for me in terms of shit that I wanted to actually talk about. Yeah. What about you guys? That's
yeah, yeah. Last of Us 2 yeah. next week. I'm pumped. I'm looking
yeah.
forward to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really looking forward to
either
it.
Either way,
yeah.
I think it'll be an interesting discussion about how it fits in the current world we're living in as well. I think that's an interesting discussion to have. And people have been making fun of like Polygon's review of it, of saying like it's feels gross to play right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I think that's a cool, interesting topic
to
talk about.
It's a valid take. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up for now. We'll see you next week. Yeah, we'll be going in on Last of Us 2.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us.
No spoilers as well next
yes.
week.
No spoilers for yeah. next week, yeah. Filthycasuals.com.au is where you can find the links to our other stuff that we've done, the premium episodes, the YouTube channel with our Let's Plays, the Patreon, where you can support the show and get a bonus episode every week. We're covering the 90s in pop culture at the moment. We're about to do 1997, so get onto that. You can get all the previous stuff that we've done right now if you chip in the right amount. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Grand Theft Auto 5 review next week, everybody. Get excited.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.